Yes, 2 Kings chapter 4. And a little time this morning, if we will. I'm going to look at a few other places before we read 2 Kings. You could say this is a good example of why it's good to be in the house of God, or good to stay in your Bible, good to stay in prayer. I guess an example of the benefit of that. We know that keeps us closer walk with God. And I guess that still comes back around in what we're going to look today. I mean, it gives us a closer walk with God and makes us more attentive. Spiritual discernment, I guess, is what I was trying to come up with, but think of at that time what it does. Because without giving the lesson away, I was trying to think of a way to describe that. And good to be in the house of God this morning. And what we'll look at here is an individual that was in the house of God, but he was before Elisha. And, of course, had a lot of other young prophets around, and we'll look at that here in just a second. A little spiritual discernment, a little bit of a difference between judgment or judging versus a fruit inspector. And we'll look at that here in just a second. I want to read a couple other places, I guess, just kind of get you set up for that, hopefully, or get your mind set up that way to think that way, and we'll go back. Usually I don't do it that way, but this morning on the way here I thought about that, and I had a couple places marked off here. Or I sat out there and did that. I told Gary Joe, Heather told me the other night he changed some ways and he was eating some things. And so I saw him out in the parking lot and I was eating a pineapple. And I said that peanut butter and cracker would be a whole lot better than the pineapple. But while I was doing that, I was marking a few places here and then tried to give him a hard time when I got in here this morning. But let's see here. And don't turn. I just got a couple places I wanted to try to find here. 2 Timothy chapter 2, let me read a couple verses. And this is more about advice on personal conduct that you get from Timothy, or that I guess Paul was giving to Timothy. And again, our lesson today won't be necessarily on personal conduct, but it'll be more about how we conduct ourselves. We do a lot of things sometimes without thinking. I don't mean without thinking, we think, but it's repetitious. We do it so often that we don't give it any thought, like driving sometimes. If you ever driven home, maybe from church or from work, and you not necessarily wonder how you got there, how you got there, but your mind's off somewhere else, and before you know it, you're pulling in the driveway, and you have that feeling of like, well, I'm already here, I don't remember passing such and such store or somebody's house or whatever. And so that's kind of what I'm thinking about here as far as keeping our mind on the things of God, I guess, and how not to let it drift or just become repetitious. And so I said, of these things, put them in remembrance, charging them before the Lord, that they strive not about words to no profit, but to the subverting of the hearers. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. But shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness. And their word will eat as doth the canker of Hymenaeus and Philetus, who concerning the truth have erred, saying that the resurrection is past already, and overthrow the faith of some. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his, and let every one that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. In other words, that gives us some instructions, and we can follow that as Paul's telling Timothy here. And there's just a couple other places. One other place I wanted to look here, and I think I marked it again. I was sitting out there and trying to get me a little snack in. And let me see here. 2 Thessalonians, I believe. 1 Thessalonians 5, just a verse or two here. And everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Quench not the spirit, despise not prophesying. Prove all things, hold fast that which is good. Abstain from all appearance of evil, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. And so here, prove all things. Give thanks. Pray without ceasing. Rejoice evermore. And so I say that because these in the New Testament, I want to look over to look that what we see Paul in some of his letters and advice that he gives is it's an added benefit, and we know that already. And I hate to keep saying it's an added benefit. It acts like you can do it or not, but we're commanded to stay in God's Word and to study and to pray, and of course, all of us get pulled away in different directions. And I say that because, as we're going to look at this morning, we're going to see again the advantage of that. And that's what Paul's trying to say. He said, "Do these things, and it'll be a blessing to you. It'll help you daily. It'll guide your life." And so I say all that, and I'm going to stop right there, and we're going to read the lesson, and you'll see why. If you go to, if you're not already there, 2 Kings, chapter number 4, and we'll go down to verse number 38. You got to remember, there's a famine in the land. No food, nothing to eat. And Elisha came again to Gilgal, and there was a dearth. That means a famine. There was no food, nothing to eat. In the land, and the sons of the prophets were sitting before him, and he said unto his servant, "Set on the great pot, and seethe pottage for the sons of the prophets." In other words, he was going to feed everybody. And one went out into the field to gather herbs, and found a wild vine, and gathered thereof wild gourds, his lap full, and came and shred them into the pot of the pottage, for they knew them not. So he poured out for the men to eat, and it came to pass, as they were eating of the pottage, that they cried out, and said, "O thou man of God, there is death in the pot." And they could not eat thereof. But he said, "Then bring meal." And he cast it into the pot, and he said, "Pour out of the for the people, that they may eat." And there was no more harm, or there was no harm in the pot. And if you'll look here and see back in verse number 38, and I'll try to tie these together if I can this morning. And Elisha came again to Gilgal, and there was a dearth in the land. Or in other words, there was a famine. Let me stop there just a second. I think today in our land there's a famine of gospel preaching. And just like back then, there was a famine, or in this case, of no food to eat. So here I'm going to talk a little bit about spiritual food. And that's why I wanted to go back over and read out of Timothy first. And he was trying to get Timothy to get established in himself and to pay attention to what was out there. And you know, he talked about, I think their names, I didn't even write them down, Philetus and Hymenaeus, I think, were their names. And he said, you know, stay away from them. You know what they'll tell you, and I'm paraphrasing, you know, it will eat as a canker. In other words, it'll eat away at you. Stay away from that. Shun that. You know what the truth is. And go over and read in Thessalonians, and at the end of that, at the 1 Thessalonians, you know, Paul's giving some advice, you know, rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all things. You know, there's some approval for all things. Hold fast is what he said. Because there's going to come times when there's going to be a dearth in the land. There's going to be false preaching. And when I say that, I don't mean false preaching. I think there's even less preaching going on. I think in general there's more. Some people, well, no, there's more of these TV preachers than there's ever been. There's more false doctrine going out. And there may be that I don't see. And of course, we're always here on Sundays. We try to be. I mean, all of us. So I really don't know what's on TV on Sunday mornings. But either way, I think there's a famine. I don't think you have the fundamental God-believing churches, King James Version preaching. I just don't see those as we did before. It's more of a social gospel, and I know we've said that and talked about that before, more of a feel-good. I think Brother Steve made a comment yesterday. He said, how did he say that? He said, I'm going to make sure I get it right. I said, you go to church now and you hear more of a story during the sermon. And he said, you feel good about yourself when you leave. And if you don't, then, you know, you think, well, we're not going to go back there. We felt worse after we left than when we came in. That's not always the case. Sometimes that's because Scripture hits you where you're living. It's supposed to get your attention, especially if you're saved, maybe got sin in your life. Or if you're lost, especially, it shows you your life, reveals your life to yourself. And the Holy Spirit does that. So I say that. And you got to think about this when I said Elisha came again to Gilgal, and there was dearth in the land, or there was a famine in the land. And I'm not a negative Nancy, so to speak, and there's not people preaching the truth. I'm not saying that. It doesn't seem like as many as there were before. But again, I prefaced that earlier by saying we're here together on Sundays. You don't get a chance to see the TV and all that going on, and I don't want to. But it just seems like it's a slowing down. Brother Ralph and I yesterday, Brother John, we went out, of course, visiting, walking to some homes, and it's easy to lose Brother John. The other one I mentioned was Brother Wayne. I said, yeah, either one of them is usually in the house eating breakfast with somebody. I don't know how they worked that out, but they both do. And me and Brother Ralph got tickled and laughing about that, because he said, "Where in the world is John?" And that's what he asked. And I said, "I have no idea." And sure enough, you know, before long, he appeared out of a house, and it had been somebody he'd known that knew somebody that knew somebody that knew, you know. But I say that, Brother Ralph and I were out there talking, and we were talking about just, you know, used to visitation, and going back years ago, all the churches visited. And if nothing else, just go around to the home, say, "Hey, we're having revival," or "Come visit our church," or "You're close by, and if you don't have a home church, come by and visit us." But you see very little of that now. A lot of that's, thing of the past. We also talked about, you know, you have to be careful when you're out there now as well. People see you differently as you walk up to the door. Used to, people would welcome you up or welcome a stranger to some extent. You know, I've told the story of my grandmother. She'd leave food out for the hobos off the trains because they lived close to the train track. And it was just different then than it is now. And I understand that. We live in a different world. You got to be a little more on your guard. But times have changed. And I think that's what we've seen, too, in as far as using visitation as an example. Used to, you might cross paths with another church, and you weren't out there competing with each other. You was out there for one purpose, and that's to see lost sinners saved. And again, it may have been just the street we was on. There may have been other people were out, so it was just in our street or area we were on. That's what we noticed. But I say that because I think that's how Elisha starts out here. There's a famine in the land, and he's speaking of food here, but there's a famine spiritually. And there's a famine in the preaching of God's Word. We're fortunate here to have a preacher that preaches to us out of God's Word, believes God. And let's continue on. It said, "And there was a dearth in the land," or "there was a famine in the land, and the sons of the prophets," of course, these were the sons of the prophets, or the young prophets that sit here, they were in training under Elisha. And so they were sitting before him, so they were all out before, and they were, I'm sure, listening to him speak. They said, "Elisha," you know, waiting for him to give him some words of wisdom, so to speak, and probably he gives them encouragement and sends them out into Israel. Of course, they have enemies as well. And, you know, if nothing else, I guess it'd be more like a school or training, much like Paul would talk to try to train Timothy. Of course, as he wrote letters to the church, Paul would. Think about that in the New Testament. We're in the New Testament age. In the Old Testament, Elisha would give good advice. He'd tell them how to maybe handle themselves. And they'd be sitting before him. That means listening and attention. And he said unto his servant, "Set on the great pot." So it was getting time to eat. So he said, "Let's go get something to eat." And he said, "Set on a pot. We'll try to feed everyone. And seethe pottage for the sons of the prophets." So he gave very direct, I guess, instructions. Just like we're given instructions in the Scripture. We're given commandments. A guide, you know, Mr. Grizzle said several times. He said, if you want to find out the best direction for your life or find out the answer to any question that you may have in life, he'd always pick up his Bible and he'd kind of shake it at me. He said, "It's all in right here. So that's only, you just look there and you'll find it." Said, if you think that as you're looking through, you're not going to be able to find it, then look a little more because it will be there. Just pray about it and it will. And I've found that to be true through, as you grow older, I think you do realize that and see. You're not as, you know, well, we've talked before about our prayer life. Sometimes we pray, and if the Lord hasn't answered it in 5 minutes, we say, well, I better go ahead and do this route. I think this is what the Lord wants me to do. Sometimes we get in a big hurry ourselves. I'm speaking for myself. You may not be that way. But sometimes it pays to wait on the Lord. And I say that because here, as Elisha instructs his servant to put on the great pot, seethe pottage for the sons of the prophets, because, again, he's going to feed them all because there's a famine in the land. And you just think about pastors today, that like Pastor Rick that'll stand here, and, of course, we're fortunate in this area to have other churches that they preach the gospel, and I'm sure they're that way. God's always got a people. I know when we drove up to the Northeast, they said it'd be very rare to find a church. And the main roads we stayed on, it was. But God had a people up there, I feel sure, that somewhere, somehow, off in one of those little towns, there's a man of God standing up preaching somewhere. New Hampshire, Vermont, somewhere, there he is. God's got a people. Sometimes you may have to look to find it, but it'll be there. And I think that's here in Elijah's instructions. He didn't vary from that. He said, same as you hear today, he said, preach the word, Timothy, as Paul told Timothy to do. I think that's what Elisha told his servant. And I'm going somewhere with this. I'm intentionally building that up as I'm going somewhere, because you'll see what the servant did in just a second. And he said, in one, not necessarily the servant, but in one, and I think that to mean that was one of the prophets, or sons of the prophets, as it says, one of the young prophets, and one went out into the field to gather herbs. So he went out to gather herbs. He said, we'll put it in this pot. And he went out to cook, much as we do as older Christians. I mean that by not age, but people who've been saved for several years versus maybe someone that's been saved just for a week or two, or maybe a month or two, or a year or less. And I know that's one reason why I know Brother Steve and Brother Jeff did this. And I know pastors have done this. Someone gets saved and be a new Christian, and then they'd have a Sunday school class, or they'd want to talk with them, or they wanted to get a class, or maybe include them in a group. And so, what questions do you have when you first get saved? That's all you know. You say, I'm saved. I know I'm saved. But what do you understand about the Bible? What do you want to know? In other words, kind of like a beginner's class, not like we think about with the little kindergartners, but a beginner as far as your new life in Christ. And I know they do that, and they try to do that, and that's the way I see these individuals. So this guy's going out. He's going to look for herbs because he wants to help feed the other prophets. He wants to give up something to eat because, remember, there's a famine in the land. There's not much going on. But see, you've got to heed the words of Paul, prove all things, hold fast. So he went out on his own, because I don't see anywhere in here where it said that Elijah asked him to go. And pay attention here, and said, and one went out into the field to gather herbs, and he found what? A wild vine. And I think it's purposely put there that it's a wild vine. It didn't just say and a vine, but a wild vine. And something here important to remember, and it goes back to what we was looking at in Thessalonians, and prove all things. As we grow and we get older, I know Luis, he's worked hard this summer, and he saved his money, and he sold his little car, and of course he's wanting to get another car, you know, or truck or something. He's looking around, and so yesterday we went, and I said, I'm going to let you handle it. I said, and Kim was with us, you know. Of course, Kim's not going to let him handle it, but anyway, that's another story. That's why I know I don't have to worry about it. I can hang around with Maggie, and so I have a good time doing that, but anyway, we go, and I think I make them more nervous, him and Kim both, so I try to just, I run interference. I know it's hard to believe, but see, I can keep them salesmen tied up, you know, while they're doing whatever. But anyway, that's my job. But anyway, I say that, he'd never done that before, so he was a newbie, so to speak. And he made the comment to Kim, he said, I've never done this. He said, I'm unsure of what to do. She said, oh, don't worry. She said, they'll come out to you. You don't have to go into them. But it was something different. And as we get, I'll use that example, as we get older, Kim and I understood that because that's one of the things I don't like doing, but everybody has to do every so often. And, you know, you have to replace your car or get a used one or new, whatever you do, that time comes. And, you know, we've had experience with that. We know what to recognize. We know when, well, it sounds like they're trying to pull a fast one here, we'll move on down the road. And that's what I mean. And that just came to mind as an example, more for experience. Nothing against car salesmen or cars or however you buy your whatever it is, but more about the experience that you gain through life. And usually as we get older, we have that experience and you see that. And it's different things. Experience just not only that with children. I know I've heard said before, I'm trying to think with pacifiers. I couldn't think of that and it saved my life. You know, you have your first child, pacifier drop on the floor. You boil it in water for 10 minutes. You put it in the microwave and wipe it off with alcohol. Let it sit out in the hot sun. Probably 6 or 7 hours before the child ever gets a pacifier in their mouth again. Or you go buy a new one. That's what we figured out doing. Second child comes along and you just get it and you wipe it on your shirt a few times. You put it in their mouth. Third child comes along. You say 3-second rule and you just put it right back in their mouth. In other words, you gain some experience. And I'm spending some time there because I want you to, really there's a lot in these few verses that's very, very important for us as Christians today in today's church. Young Christians, and I don't mean age-wise as far as 15, 16, 17, 18, but I mean newly saved versus ones that's been saved for years. You have to watch out for that wild vine. You have to have some discernment. And that's something here this young prophet did not know. Let's continue to read. And one went out into the field to gather herbs. So he went out in a positive manner. He went out to do something that was going to help the group. So he went out. He was excited. And a wild vine, and gathered thereof wild gourds, his lap full, and came and shred them into the pot of pottage that they knew them not. In other words, he went out and he got all these wild herbs and had these gourds growing from them. And, you know, I have to think, and it doesn't tell us here, but it says he come back and he cut them up, made place for them, put them over in the pot, and Nobody else knew it. You know, I can picture that in my head. I can see this big black pot's what I see, big fire going under it, and everybody gathered around and getting ready for, you know, get something to eat. And I'm sure they're hungry. Maybe they only ate, and a lot of times in the Old Testament, they only ate twice a day anyway. So you wonder here, maybe they just eating once a day, maybe twice a day, but what they had was these pottage. You know, it said it was a famine. And you wonder if that's all they got sometimes. And so he thought, I'll be a big help. He put that gourd over in there and got it cooking with the rest of the food. And he said, boy, they'll like that. Look at all this I found. But see, you stop and think a couple things here. That gourd that he found, and I'm sure he wouldn't just went out knowing, oh, I'll just throw anything in the pot. He had to have an idea already what went in the pot. You see what I'm saying? He already had to have an idea of what am I looking for. And I say that because this gourd or that vine must have looked a whole lot like the real thing. Think about that. He wouldn't just went and said, well, here's something completely new. I don't know what that is, but I'll just throw that in a pot and we'll eat it. I just can't see that being the case. As I read this, I see this as someone that he's going out looking for a certain herb and he sees one and he gets fooled. He thinks that's the real thing. And boy, I've struck a gold mine, you know, in this famine in the land. And I'm saying that like a gold mine, like he's found. Like, look at all these. In other words, even when there's a famine in the land, or either when there's, as we said here, a spiritual famine, not much preaching going on anymore. You don't see sinners walking the aisles as much as you did years ago. And we still see there's still preaching going on. But during that time, there'll also be that false doctrine going out as well. And it'll be really close to the real thing. Almost so much that unless someone's walking in with the Lord daily and in prayer daily and in study, you yourself or myself can be fooled. Not fooled to the point to lose our salvation, but get caught up in something that we don't realize it at the time. And that's what we're going to see here in just a second. He noticed these herbs. He noticed these gourds. He picked them, gathered them, thought they were the real thing, put them in the pot. But really, they're going to cause trouble for him and the rest of his young prophets, or you say the rest of his family, so to speak, or his church family in this case. And we'll see here as that continues. And you keep your mind, they had to look real. They had to be close. He wouldn't have gathered them if they weren't. If they didn't look edible, he wouldn't have took them. Let's look here as we see. And one went out into the field to gather herbs and found a wild vine and gathered thereof wild gourds in his lap full and came and shred them into the pot of pottage, for they knew him not. And if you think about that, how in the world did they grow in this midst of a famine? In other words, what made them there? And we said they were a close resemblance, but when he went out by himself, he took it upon himself that he knew exactly what he was doing. He didn't ask Elijah's advice. He didn't ask anybody else to go with him. And you think about that sometimes if we look out, and I think about in the New Testament how we're told to forsake, not to forsake the assembly. And in other words, assembling of ourselves together. In other words, rather than put it in the pot and not telling anybody else, he just stuck it in there. Let's see what happens. So they poured out for the men to eat, and it came to pass as they were eating of the pottage that they cried out and said, O thou man of God, there is death in the pot, and they could not eat thereof. Spiritual discernment is very, very, very important. I don't think we emphasize that enough as we in our lives and in Sunday school and just in our prayer lives and our study lives. And I know we hear it in the preaching and how it gives us a knowledge, I guess, from the Holy Spirit to discern spiritually sometimes what's false and what's true. And as you see here, they didn't know it. And it came to pass as they were eating, they'd already taken part of that. They'd already started eating this, and it was poisonous. It could have killed them. What their colleague had done, or the young prophet had done, unbeknownst to him, and he wasn't trying to kill them, he was just so enthusiastic, he'd went out again alone and by himself, and he'd went out and tried to be a fruit inspector, so to speak. And you remember that. We've heard that, and that was preached here some years ago, and I think we were even over in the other building. I'm trying to remember who it was. Talked about the difference between fruit inspection and judging or judgmental. And he said, well, we're not judging, we're not judgmental, but we're fruit inspectors. And said, we need to do that with our own lives. And because as we go through it, sometimes it's easy to judge or look at others, and we use that word judge, but what about the fruit that's being produced? If you're saved, you're going to produce some type of fruit. We've talked about before, we've all got different, plans for our lives that God has, different avenues to go, but we'll all produce some kind of fruit at some time. And I think this young man here, he went out with good intentions, but he looked more judgmental when he looked at these gourds and said, oh no, they're exactly what we need, and put them in the pot. And what that did, that affected the whole group. So we need to guard ourselves. And we said too, and I go back to that statement, Thessalonians, I didn't think I would that much. And as I look back and I look down, it says, prove all things. And I'd written it out, and that's the last thing I did. And it said, hold fast that which is good. In other words, make sure that it's right. And I say that because someone else is watching your life, or your life affects someone else. Your actions affect someone else, just like this young prophet did as well. And let's see what happens. It says, O thou man of God, there is death in the pot, and they could not eat thereof. He lacked spiritual discernment. He lacked that fruit inspection. But he called on a man, in this case Elisha, he said, who knew, had spiritual discernment and knew. And he said, but he said, then bring meal. And he cast it into the pot, and he said, pour out for the people that they may eat. And there was no harm in the pot. I look at the meal this morning, and I think about it as being the Word of God. Elisha, they let the man of God know, say, hey, there's death in the pot. We're all going to die. We've all been eating this pottage. We put the wrong thing in it. We didn't know it. We went out and picked the wrong thing. And you notice here, they didn't go back and point fingers at him. That guy there, he tried to kill us all. He put the wrong thing. You know, that's how it'd be today. It'd be lawsuits, everything. Oh, he tried. Oh, he's intentional. I heard he had it out for so-and-so. So he went out and got these poisonous herbs and put them all in the pot. But they didn't do that. They knew that they could have been fooled just as easily as he could. So that's another point there this morning, too, is we don't need to get down on each other. Brothers and sisters, we all face obstacles. Sometimes it's we got family that may be sick or ill. We have a wayward child or children. Things happen in our lives. We need to pray for one another, lift each other up. Think about that. It's real easy and quick to point the fingers at the other person when it's not you, but you wait long enough, something to come around your way. And that's what I point out here as we look here this morning. They didn't point the finger at him. What I see there is they said, O thou man of God, there is death in the pot. They couldn't eat it. In other words, they were saying, Elisha, help us. What are we going to do? What'd he do? He turned to the Word of God. And that's why I look at the meal this morning. The meal was a substance, so to speak. It bound to the toxin. It made it edible. He knew it would neutralize whatever the poison was. And they could eat it. Just like in our lives, and I've said this, I guess when we got started, we'll be finished in just a second. But as we got started earlier, a few minutes ago, I made the comment that every question you've got, every problem you've got in life, you can find the answer here in the Word of God. And just keep that in mind. And remember, as we said, there's others that are watching us. And there's others, I'm sure, might be in this neighborhood, watch us fill the parking lot every Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday nights, and they watch this church. And I know as we were talking yesterday, and Brother Ralph and I were out and about, and I think it might have been Brother Ralph that ran into somebody. No, it was Brother John again. I told you, he gets right in there. He might have got another biscuit at this house or something. I don't know, but I remember he went by somebody's house and said, yeah, we used to go up the Bible Way a few years ago. Hadn't been going to church anywhere now. And he said, boy, how was that? I just happened to, that was the one door. And I think it was on the corner somehow, and it was easy to go the other way, but he just happened to step in that house and come back out. And said, yeah, we've noticed down there you've got another pastor now. They knew those. So that let us know that they'd been watching the church. At least when they drove by, they saw the sign. They'd at least look. So, prove all things. Hold fast that which is good. Stay in your Bible. Read, study, pray. And Lord, guide us and direct us. And you know what? Even as older Christians, and again, not in age, but you know what? We can be fooled by that wild vine too if we're not careful. Those gourds looked awful good to him. You might blame it because he was young, but I tell you what, you better be careful out there. The devil, Satan, he's got a lot of devices. He's been messing around with man and trying to pull our attention away from the things of God and keep people out of church and try to for a long, long time. And as we look, and he's had plenty of experience. Who was that? I'm finished here. We looked the other day. I guess it's been a month or two ago, talked about Satan's devices, and he said plenty of experience to sharpen his tools and get his weapons ready. And so this morning, if you can spend some time, go back over there and look in 2 Kings and go on down and read through chapter 5. If you'll notice, we wrap up there with Elisha. Of course, they were able to eat the pottage and said there was no harm in the pot. If you go through and read those couple other verses, and it talks about the famine in the land. But if you go down to chapter 5, you get into Naaman, the cure for his leprosy. And so that goes right along with that in chapter 4 as well. Thank you for your attention this morning. You got time to visit one another. Pray for the service.